Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you that we're able to come here. I thank you for a time of worship through singing, prayers, confession, through listening to the children sing and the choir sing and just all of these beautiful moments. And I pray as this worship continues in the preached word that you would help us to listen and not just listen, but truly hear, to grab hold of these truths through the power of the Spirit. Lord, I pray not only for this congregation and for me as I speak, but for Glenn and Jenny and Paul in this area and Giorgio and so many others and Ellie and Akode and Kenya and friends all over the world that are trying desperately to show the beauty of Jesus with words and actions. I pray that this world would be changed, that we would truly see Jesus. I pray today that that would happen right here for your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, they did a good job in being quiet all the way up until out there. So I'm going to go ahead and share some things with you. I am not good at some things. One of those things is sharing. I'm not a very good sharer. And my wife was a phenomenal sharer. She loved to share. You think that'd work out really well for me, right? Like, I don't want to share, so I get to keep my stuff. She likes to share, so I get to keep her stuff too, right? It seems like it would work really well, except for it doesn't always work out really well. You probably have spouses, some of you, and you understand what I'm saying. You know, when you're sitting down and you're just enjoying watching, I don't know, Friends or whatever it is that you enjoy watching, Hallmark Channel guys, right? I know. And you're like, you know, I really like some ice cream, so you get up and you go to the freezer, you know, open it up, and you're so generous, right, guys? Right? Yeah, honey, would you like me to bring you any ice cream? Okay? And of course, you know, I know what I'm going to hear. No, that's okay. I'm good. Thanks, honey. You know, and so I'm getting my three scoops out because that's how much I want to eat, right? I'm a man. I want to eat real. So I'm scooping out the three scoops. Honey, are you sure? You don't want any, right? No, I'm good. Okay. So now I'm going to sit down on the couch to enjoy this great sitcom with my lovely wife, and I'm going to get to eat my three scoops of ice cream, right? Except for, you know, as the show starts, she just with that little cute little face, she's just, and she wants me to, like, okay, it's just one bite, and then just kind of scoop her a little, and just kind of give her that little, you know, and she's quiet for, you know, 30, 40 seconds, and you know, and then, so now I'm finished with my two scoops, she's eaten one scoop, and I have to get back up. You know, it doesn't work out, does it? It's not fair. It's not fair to us guys. I mean, I don't know, maybe it works the other way in your family. It's not fair for those of us who have planned and generous enough to get, anyway, so let's set that on the shelf just for a second. We're just going to think about that. I'm not very good at sharing. Here's another thing that you need to know about me. I'm not a real fan of parties. I don't like going to parties, okay? Especially, you know, those parties where there's lots of people and you don't know all of them and you go alone. Really not a fan of that, but really like any kind of party, like lots of people, just not my favorite. So like I'll go in. I pretty much always have a little paperback book in my pocket. You'll just pretty much always see there's going to be like I'm ready. And I'll find that spread, you know, that table that has the tablecloth all the way down to the floor. And I'll just kind of like look around and then I'll just kind of like jump underneath and just start reading a book, okay? And I'm good. People are talking. Where'd Jace, doesn't matter. I'm just smiling. I'm enjoying, oh yeah, atonement theology. You know, I'm just enjoying this book underneath the table. That's for me, that's a party. But what I do like about parties is the food. And you just saw a big picture of food. Oh my goodness, I love the food. Like, you know, there's like where the host is insanely generous. And they've just got like this, you know, it's potato salad and macaroni and cheese and sliders and carrots and dip and just everything and sweets. It's just, oh, you know what I'm talking about, right? North Carolina obesity rates. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You guys all look wonderful. But, like, we love food, don't we? Anybody? Fan of food? 4, 5, 6? Okay, this is a participatory thing. You're supposed to be, you know, you sing, and then you join me with the preaching, too. Okay, so, all right, we got the Jace doesn't like to share. Jace doesn't like parties, but really loves the food. Okay, so we got those two different things. Now, let's go to the Bible. Okay, now remember the Bible, the thing that I talked about last week? Those of you who are here, and I talked about where I didn't really believe it. Remember that? Kind of shocked some of you, maybe. And I stepped away from the pulpit and I said, this is prophetic. I'm kind of trying to do something. It's a drama here telling you that I don't believe. But you remember those passages I said I don't believe? It's that passage that was already read this morning. Command those who are rich. You remember that one? And if you're generous, that you're gonna inherit the life that is truly life. And I said, I don't know that I really believe that. And remember that other passage where Jesus stands up in the synagogue and he opens up the scroll to Isaiah and it says, you know, that this is the day that the blind will get to see and the prisoners will be freed, the day of Jubilee. And he says, today, that day has begun. It's been fulfilled in your hearing. He stands right there. And I said, I don't know if I really believe that. Because if I really believed that, life would be a little different. I would live differently. So here's what I want to do. I want to take these three things, you know, the fact that I'm not sure I believe the Bible, that I don't really like sharing, that I love food, all these things, I want to bring them together into this parable for you. Okay, I'm going to tell you a parable that I'm guessing you're going to recognize. You're going to know this story pretty well. At least I assume you will. Okay, so let's go back. We're going to go back to the very beginning pages of Scripture, Genesis, right there in those very original words. And I want you to see this place that Adam lives. God brings this place to Adam. He brings Adam to this place. And basically, I'm going to say, he brings him to this house, and he throws him a huge party. Okay, can you follow the parable, the analogy, the direction I'm going? Here's this. Every day, Adam looks around, he wakes up, and there's these trees, and he can eat as much food as he wants. He is on fire. Like, this is exciting. Look at this. I can eat from the tree on the mantle. I can eat from the tree on the end table. I can eat from whatever platters are in whatever places in the house. It's this huge party. And I don't know how many people were at this party. Let's not get into discussions about historical Adam. I published on that. It's not pretty. People are not happy. But let's just say Adam, Eve, God, at least. We got this party going on. They're happy together. And God is this crazy generous host, right? He is so giving, so lavish. Adam basically wakes up in the middle of this party that's for him. Now, if you're at this party and your host is super rich, how do you handle that? What do you think about? What are you doing? I mean, you've got caviar on one table. I assume you got caviar. I mean, some people, okay, I don't really like it, but it's a richie, it's a nice, beautiful kind of food. Caviar over there, you've got medium filet mignon, it's the way it's supposed to be cooked over here, and the carvers are just carving any slices so thin and juicy, and you've got shrimp and steamed spice on that table, or spiced and steamed shrimp on that table over there, and you've got the crab, and it's already deshelled for you, and the butter is hot, you know what I'm talking about, and you're dipping it in there. Oh, anybody? Oh, yes, just this. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere that you need it to be. And you know, you're noticing, oh, you know, it's about half empty. And somebody else comes and takes that away and sets down another one. There's just a stream of people coming out of the kitchen to refill everything you could have. It doesn't matter what's there. You're barely finishing one thing, and it's right there, and it's replenished. And you're like, this is the best party ever. And you're like, oh, I'm going to go sit in the hot tub. But there's six people already in the hot tub. And the host says, I got nine more scattered around. And you're like, okay, I'm going to go to this one. You want to play billiards, right? And the billiards table's full. He's like, oh, look up on the pool deck. Go up there, right? And there's everything. Like, it's the most amazing home. You are just rocking this party. It's so nice. You have everything. None of you are sticking, like, caviar in your pockets for later because you don't ever have to leave. Everything is exactly perfect. You can live here forever. Party on, excellent. You know what I'm saying? Okay, it's this good experience. Now, in the middle of this one table, which is right out in the middle of the huge, the banquet room, the living room area, in the middle of this, there's this triple-decker bowls of M&Ms, which is God's candy, right? I mean, he loves M&Ms, and he's got these here, and then the normal ones, right, and the peanut ones, and the crispy ones, and then the peanut butter ones, which are by far, I mean, obviously God's favorite of favorites, right? He's got that, the best up there, and everything, all the M&Ms you can see, and the host says, hey, look, the top one, I just don't want you to eat those. Just kind of steer clear of those particular M&Ms, and you're just like, oh, that's a little weird, but whatever, there's M&Ms right there, like, so I don't eat from there. And you pass by that table quite a lot, and you're just like, why can't I eat that? But whatever, it's not that big of a deal because you've got so many M&Ms until someone comes into the party, right? Somebody opens the door, and they're talking with you, and they seem like a good person. They're hanging out with you, and they say, I'm not sure the host has been perfectly honest with you. The host is not telling you the full truth. You should probably take what you can now, because things aren't going to always look like this. They're not going to be here for long. You have to think for yourself. You have to fend for yourself. And you didn't notice that tree, that bowl in the middle of the banquet area that often, but now you're noticing it an awful lot, aren't you? Like, why am I being kept from that? This is what I want. And sometimes I wonder, just like an aside, I wonder if that tree in the middle of the garden isn't in the middle of the garden because it's an everyman kind of tree. Like, isn't that the one thing that's the most tempting for you? It's always right in the middle. You pass it every day, don't you? That thing that's so tempting. I don't know if it's food or if it's some addiction to something or what it is, but it's always right there. Anyway, so you're looking at those M&Ms and the word starts getting out to other people at the party that maybe the host isn't really everything he's saying. And maybe things are going to start to end. Maybe you should start grabbing some things. And so people start stuffing stuff into their pockets. They're grabbing things out of bowls. They're filling their mouths. They're putting it everywhere they can. And the host comes in, and the food is on the floor. Tables are kind of turned over, and he's looking around, and he's not happy, obviously. And he's like, okay, just that's it. This party's over. And he sends people out of the banquet room. You're not doing this anymore. Now, that party's not totally over, but it's certainly changed tone. Like there's this difference now. The host doesn't feel the same. And a couple of the people, like, they come right up to the edge of the banquet room and they're like really want to make sure that the host knows, we're kind of sorry, and so they come and they bring some things for him, and for some reason and they don't really know why, the host is very favoring of one but not the other, and the other is really upset about that and when the host turns his back, he kills the one that the host favored. what's just happened? There's a murder scene in the billiards room, and so God has to kick out this partygoer that he loved, and now this partygoer, he's going into another room and he's starting his own party. I'm gonna have my own party. I don't need it. And everyone's starting to get really nervous. Things are not what you're hoping at this point. Like, things are really bad. The conservatory, which is just beautiful. Piano big, like as big as Sweetwater. Those of you know music people, Sweetwater and instruments, right? Like it's huge. It was rocking. It had the Def Leppard jams going on because that's God's favorite music. Now it's like it's playing like Appalachian bluegrass. It's not pretty. You know what I'm saying? Okay, this is not the group for making jokes about Appalachian bluegrass. I love Appalachian bluegrass. Okay, anyway, it's whatever music you don't like very much, right? That's what's playing right now, and things are just not good. And you hear about this guy. You start hearing stories about this guy who's doing laps in the swimming pool, one of the swimming pools, and he's claiming he's killed seven times as many as that guy in the conservatory. So now death is everywhere. And things are tense, and there's parties breaking out, but they're breaking out in individual rooms, and there's nothing bringing them back together anymore. And they do try. They make this other party in one of the rooms to make it look just like this other room, and the big room that they were hoping for. And the goal was to get back to the generous host to win back his approval, but they did it on their own terms, and it's just not good. It's not what he wanted at all. Most of the people at the different parties stopped sharing. We're gonna hold for ourselves. Because now we know it's gonna disappear. We need to store it up. And I don't know about you, my pockets would be full of fried calamari. I like fried squid. Don't get me. Do not get me tins of calamari because I said that. I'm gonna go and change the story right now. My pockets would be full with like little Snickers bars. The fun size Snickers bars. I'd be trying to if I'm gonna be saving for myself, that's what I'm gonna be needing. We're storing this stuff up, and the host. the host is looking out on everything, and he's a little eccentric. We don't really understand everything about him. It's a little strange. I mean, first of all, that he'd throw this kind of party is just a little crazy, but he does some weird things. He for some reason, he keeps going into this one room, and he goes in there, and he spends a lot of time with them in that room. In all these other rooms, he doesn't seem to spend as much time, and you don't really understand. And most of the time when he goes in with this wheelbarrow full of awesome food, like even better than some of the food that we saw at the party. He's going in there, and he's giving it to them, and you're like, why is he going into that particular room? You know, he'll come out, and he won't have the wheelbarrow anymore, why is he favoring them? And the rest of the people at the different parties, they're watching from the doorways, and they're a little bit upset. Why does he give his best stuff to the people in that room? And sometimes the guy, the main guy in that one room, he comes out with a wheelbarrow, and he wheels it around. And every once in a while, he'll, like, throw some stuff to people. but really, not very much. Most of the time, he's just kind of walking it around, kind of like, look at what I got. I got the nice stuff, don't I? That's right. The host favors me. I'm kind of special. And so, of course, they get sick of this. They ignore him most of the time, but it's hard to ignore him. And, you know, over the years, different people come out with different wheelbarrows. And, well, a lot of them get killed. I mean, what's the big deal? I mean, it started a long time ago. And seven times seven, you know, there's lots of killing going on. And how dare the host favor them? And they didn't realize that the whole point the host was doing, he was wheelbarrowing that stuff into that one room. The whole point was so that that person, that group of people in there would grab that wheelbarrow and go out and not just throw a few things, but like literally go from door to door and hand out all these things to show how beautiful this host is. And to remind them, the best stuff is still to come. I'm bringing this party back. It's coming. I'm gonna rescue this party, and it's all going to be amazing. And he didn't do a good job in sharing. So why are they going to believe? Where are they going to believe the host when he picked this group of people who aren't doing a good job at telling things, telling them about how great this host is? Honestly, if the host would just come back into the middle of the banquet room and all the doors were open, if he had just come in there and announced the party was back on the way it was before, but then he keeps sending people to represent him, and they're just not doing a great job. So the host finally says, "All right, I'm going to do things differently. I'm coming myself." And he comes into the living room, and he sees the mess. I mean, the food is kind of smelly. Things have been going bad. It's been happening for years. And he sees, you know, people, and there's still some things, like there's still, people still bring stuff into the middle of the room. You know, the people in the kitchen, there's still some things there that are good and some leftovers, and people are cannibalizing. They're grabbing the things. You see somebody, you know, coming in for the strawberries and chocolate. Somebody else has got the chocolate fountain under their hands. They're running, they run in, they grab the stuff, and they run back to their room. Pretzel sticks in the corner, right? People are still grabbing some little things, but some of the rooms, the host would open up the door and he'd look inside, and people are just starving to death. Like, they're literally just like curled up in corners, just starving. And you can hear through the wall, like the jams are just cranking out music in the other one and a party going on. And this host is really cool. He can just like go through walls, and he goes in and he looks, and what is happening here? Tons of food. He sees in this room, there's so much food, and it's the food that he'd given to the, you know, with the wheelbarrow and the one guy, and then they killed him, and they'd taken some of the food, and they're having such a good time, and there's factions and there's raids. People raid other different rooms sometimes. Then someone's got locked all the pigs in the blanket in this particular room. Like they're ours. They didn't start off like that. It was just one little concern that maybe there wasn't enough. Maybe the host wasn't totally telling us the truth. And it makes perfect sense for us to hoard for us and our particular room, our particular family. Let's just hold this stuff on our own. My children need it. And the host looks out on all these rooms and he cries. And he says, "Oh, if you'd only known what makes for peace. Why is there violence and chaos and hatred in the world? Because someone told us that there wasn't enough. Someone said, your host isn't being completely honest with you. Someone said, take, eat. This is the true path to happiness. Go this direction. If you want to go on the party path, it's over here. It's not what the host has said. You have to do this. I can see the host coming and saying, oh, Winston-Salem, if you'd only known what makes for peace. If you'd only known what makes for peace. Peace is found in giving everything away. Remember Jesus said that? Peace is found when we explode this myth of scarcity. When we trust that the host has our best interests in mind and has enough to supply not only for all our needs, but for all of our good desires too. So the host wheelbarrows in the best food, and he explains why he'd favored certain people, certain groups with his food, and he'd show them that everyone, like, you're all back and you're all invited into this party back in its fullness. And you know what they do to the host when he's explaining all this stuff? They kill him too. Right where that M&M platter had been. Now, I assume you followed most of the story. I'm sure you saw that God is the generous host who started a garden party, and the partygoers started trashing the place, and there was murder and selfishness and factions, and you saw that Abel's favor was for a purpose, but that the story of Cain and Abel is just a miniature garden scene where Cain's saying, perhaps God's holding out on me, the same thing that Adam said. Perhaps he's holding out on me. Abel gets this, why don't I? And then we fix things the way we think they should be because we think we're wise. We think we've got the best plan for this best party. And I hope you know that God is the one who grabbed hold of Abraham and said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bring the wheelbarrows to you so you can bless these other rooms. By the way, that's just the doctrine of election, you good Presbyterians here, right? That's what it is. It's I've chosen you in this particular room so that you can represent me well to the world. There's nothing special about this particular room, about this group of people, about this particular church even. He says, I've picked you out of a group because I want you to look a certain way. I want you to be generous and share. I want you to show the path of the kingdom, this party path. I want you to show it well. Are you showing it well that you're chosen, you're elected for this purpose? He says, you're going to be a kingdom of priests, Israel. You're gonna show me off to the world and tell them how generous I am and that I still love them and I want to make this world amazing for them. And I hope you see that this host came himself and they pinned this host, Jesus, to the cross. Because they thought they had it all figured out. And before he was killed, you remember the story that he told everyone all the time, right? He said, the kingdom of God is here. I'm here to get this party back on track. The kingdom of God is a party. Have you figured that one out? Can you guys say that? Even in the kingdom of God is a party? Go ahead. The kingdom of God is a party. That's the point of all of this. The kingdom of God is this party. And he tried to get them to see that the world is abundant, that it has everything that we need, that God was singing and things were growing. Those of you who know C.S. Lewis, Magician's Nephew, right? He's just singing. Things are growing and everything's great. And you don't have to worry. If the ravens have food and I clothe the lilies, he says, why are you so worried? I've got enough. I've got enough. And why can't we see it? The kingdom of God is a party. And he's there to say, what time is it? We're supposed to be saying, it's party time. That's what the world's supposed to see. We have been inviting them to a party. That's why justice is so important. That's why equality is so important. That's why generosity is so important. Because our job is to let all the other rooms, all the world, know that it is party time. And there are some rooms in India and Ethiopia and others who don't have much. But the reason they don't have much is because we aren't convinced that the host is as generous as he says. We know one day he's going to be. Oh yeah, we're good with that. One day God's going to be generous. But right now, I don't know, things are kind of a mess. We've got to be careful. I mean, heaven, yes, heaven's great, all that stuff. But our job is to put this back on track now. We don't believe that when he came and he said, today is the day this has been fulfilled, the eyes are opened, that the captives are released, that generosity is flowing like a river. We don't really believe that. We don't believe that we're supposed to grab hold of that life that is truly life, that the things that we do now stretch into that future life. We don't believe that verse that was read earlier in Timothy. Command those who are rich. Focus on that. Those who are rich in this present world, not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Remember this connecting points? Generous and willing to share. In this way, they'll lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Life that is truly life. You see how that started? Command those who are rich. You think, but we're not rich. This isn't talking to us. Oh, friends. You have no idea. Last time I checked, when I had a regular annual salary, the last time I didn't check this time, my salary's changed a little bit, but the last time I checked, the annual salary that I had made me the 5,906,209th richest person in the world. I know. 5,906,209th richest person. You know, if you make over $50,000, you're in the top 1%. You get that, right? Do you know if you make minimum wage, you're still in the top 10% of the richest people in the world? That means if your poverty level, 90% of the world still has less than you have. The average worker in Zimbabwe makes 53 cents an hour, $1,102 in a year. The average worker in Ghana would need 531 years to earn what I make in a year. It took me 1 minute. It's about how much it takes me. 1 minute to earn a can of soda. The average laborer in Indonesia works for 2 hours for a Coke. My monthly income would pay the monthly salaries of 371 doctors in Azerbaijan. Here's my point. We are crazy rich. We just are. We have a host. We have this generous host that makes Musk and Bezos and Buffett and Gates and Zuckerberg combined together look like paupers. That's the kind of host that we hang out with. That means you could literally give away everything that you have today, and your crazy generous host could give it all back to you by next week, by tomorrow. Like, he's got nothing on, there's nothing to stop him. And let's not forget that his answer for the rich man, how the rich man is supposed to enter into the kingdom of God to get back to the party, that's just the question. How do I get back to the party? How do I get into the kingdom of God? Is to sell all that he had and give to the poor. You know, I'm not a rich man. No, my point is you are. Rich men and women. Are you like me? Kind of happy to ignore this passage? I don't really want to think about this. This is too difficult. I'm going to ignore the passage in Timothy about being generous and the danger of putting our hope in wealth. I ignore that Jesus says he came to give good news to the poor and release the oppressed and free the prisoner and proclaim the year of God's favor, this jubilee where all things are freed. There's no more economic burdens. Our life is all about being freed, he says, not about greed. It rhymes. It must be right. Freed, not greed. Now, I'm guessing this church is pretty generous compared to some. Some of you are amazing. But I have to wonder sometimes, is it generosity or is it wealth? Yeah, this church has a pretty big budget. But is it because you're giving sacrificially and generously, or just because you have a lot? You give a little bit, and that makes a lot. I wonder if there's faith giving going on. I don't know. I don't know you well enough. It's only been 6 months. I know personally, all I can do about it is talk about it myself. Like 85% of my income goes to take care of me. That's just who I am. This sermon is 100% for me, maybe not for you. I don't know. I so easily forget that this generous host gave everything for me, that this Jesus died on a cross to free me from my idolatry of wealth. He called me to put my hope in him and not in what I have. He called me to show him as beautiful and bring joy to my city and to the world through the blessings he gives me. And I'm content somehow with a little bit, 10, 15, maybe 16% sometimes. I rationalize it because, well, I need to save up for my family, right? Proverbs talks about that, and it's a good thing, and I'm not wrong. I just wonder sometimes when I rationalize, is my rationalization just a little too convenient as to how much helps me? I'm going to close with one story. Davin, who's not here today, so he's not going to hear this, which is good. He's 3 years old, and he comes into the kitchen, and he asks me for some M&Ms. Okay, so three-year-old, you know, Tyler is just like super excited about everything, just 3 years old. By the way, I know what you're thinking right now, right? Jace, you are really, like, you started the sermon off with food and sharing and M&Ms, and you're wrapping it up with an M&M story. How do you do this? You're just amazed. This is what being a great preacher is all about. It happens once a year, so far. Okay, so I'm bringing all the stuff back together. Are you ready? So he's asking me for some M&Ms, and he asks me several times a day because he thinks I'll be distracted in the kitchen doing something else or doing work, and I'll be just like, yeah, just go get some M&Ms, and he'll, you know, climb up on and get his M&Ms. And we've got a good sized bag of M&Ms there, and he knows that, and so this one time I'm not distracted. I'm actually so like, it's like, you know what, Davin, you can have some M&Ms. And I go to the cabinet, I get out the M&Ms, and I got the big bag, and I pick 20 M&Ms, and I put them in a little cup, and you just see these eyes on him just like, right? And he's doing this, like, he can't even help himself. He's doing a little dance, right, as he's getting ready to grab hold. You guys, you've had three-year-olds probably, right? And he's just like, hey, get this little bowl, and he's taking it over to the couch, and he's pouring it out on the couch, and the couch isn't perfectly flat, so they're, you know, the M&Ms are, and he's scooping them back together, and he finally gets them all stable there, and he's starting to count them. 1, 3, 4, 14, 14, right? He doesn't know how to count. So he's just counting, but he's got a bunch, and he'll take a couple as he's doing this, and he's just enjoying, just like so excited how he got 20 of them. Now, I don't know what his mom gives him when I'm not around. I'm assuming probably 50. I don't know. But for me, this is a huge deal. He's so excited, and he's just like, there's a little tear, like almost he's really excited about all this stuff. And I come over. I love saying yes to my kids. I don't know about you parents, right? I love that excitement when they get something. In fact, I've told my kids, I always want to say yes. There are times I'm going to have to say no, right? But sometimes I want to say yes, and he's so excited. I want to join him in this excitement. So I'm kneeling down next to the couch with him, and he doesn't even know I'm right there. And then I start to reach over for some of those M&Ms, right? And with the speed of like a cougar, jaguar, cheetah, just whoa, wait. This fork goes over these M&Ms. Just kind of looking side, like how dare you touch? And I'm just like, what just happened? Like, okay, it's obviously an accident. He's counting again, putting another one. And so can I have? They're mine. Right? There's chocolate. This is wrong. We're mine. Right? I can't touch his M&M. You say, oh, that's so cute, right? Your smile. I see the smile, right? He's just 3 years old. I'm a little offended. Like, this kid, what is this punk kid? Like, has he forgotten what has just happened? Did he fail to realize that I was the source of his M&Ms? How did this happen? I bought the M&Ms at Target with my money. These were mine just minutes ago. Not only did I purchase them, I gave them way more than I normally give them. In fact, the fact that I gave him any was just my love for him. And here Davin is talking about my M&M, mine. Like, what? How can this be? Not only am I the source of his M&Ms, I'm 5'11". 5'10 plus, whatever. I'm 180 pounds, right? I can pick up this little punk kid, move him over to his room, lock the door, eat all of his M&Ms for myself. Or if I wasn't quite so mean, I could just go back to the cabinet where I have the 5-pound bag of M&Ms, because I don't mess around with this 1-pound stuff or these little stuff. No, I'm doing the manly stuff, right? I could go back there, and let's say it's almost empty. Let me tell you what I can do. Did I tell you I'm the 5,902,000 something, something, something? I'll go back to Target. I guarantee you on my credit card, I can buy every M&M at that store. Every M&M. I could fill up my whole kitchen with M&Ms. This is the kind of person I am. I wanted 2 M&Ms. That's all I wanted. And they don't mean anything to me. I just wanted to be a part of it. I wanted him to be willing to share. I wanted him to see that I provided him with a blessing and that he would bless others. I mean, ideally, this would be amazing, but ideally, he would take that little thing and he'd go and knock on the doors of his brothers. He's got 2 older brothers and say, hey, would you like some M&Ms? And I don't know, maybe he'd even go outside and sign some friends and give them some M&Ms. Oh, that would be like amazing. If only he knew. I don't know how much M&Ms God's given you. He's given me a lot of M&Ms. Some of you have more than others. Perhaps some of you have, let's see here. You got this one? Some of you got some M&Ms like this. Some of you got the 1 pound, just 1 pound, 10.7 ounces. Oh, it's not quite, okay, yeah. That's pretty good. Some of you got the good stuff, you know what I'm saying? Peanut butter M&Ms, 5 pounds. Some of you have a lot more M&Ms. Okay, boxes and boxes of M&Ms. Some of you got the old Halloween ones from last year, you know, the brown, the fall-colored ones. Some of you got, you know, the Valentine's ones, the red and white and pink ones. Some of you got the green ones, the 5-pound green ones, those super-powered ones. They, like, Popeye to spinach, right? I don't know what you've got. You've got some M&Ms. All of you have them. Some of you got wheelbarrows full of M&Ms. But all of us have some, and the M&Ms aren't yours. They're not really yours. They're given by a God who loves you, who is a very generous host. You know what I hope Davin's learned in the last 14 years? I think he has. That when I give him something, he's quick to give back. He's learned some things. If I ask for something, it's not something that I need from him. He's found that if he shares and he gives me, I really like to bless him. I love blessing. He gives me 2 of them. Sometimes he finds out that he loses those 2, kind of. But not really. And more than that, I give him more. I'm like, oh, go get some more. Get 10 more. So, he loves the fact that I want to say yes to him. I don't know if you know, but Jesus wants us to say yes to him with our whole lives. You've probably heard that before at First Pres. Are you saying yes to Jesus with your whole lives? Do you put little forts around your blessings? Like, these are mine. When God says he wants to bless us so that we can serve others. This is mine. And God's the source of all of what we receive. And yeah, we've done the work, but he's given us the ability to do the work. God's blessed us so that we can bless others, to build up his church and to spread the gospel and to take care of the poor. And I'm sure you're thinking, Lord, as soon as I pay for Netflix and Disney Plus and the designer clothes and a car I can't afford and last year's Christmas shopping on my credit cards, if there's anything left, then I'm going to show you how much I love you, how much I appreciate the generosity, the grace that you did on the cross. But right now, don't reach over here for any percentage of my M&Ms. And I say this knowing you guys. I know 6 months of knowing you guys, this probably not you. I know this church has wheelbarrows full of M&Ms and you love to give them away. I've watched you wheel them in and spread them out here. And I hope you'll pray with me about what that's going to look like over the next year, 2 years, 5 years. What are we going to do here? Oh, because this church is going to do something. It's been doing something, don't get me wrong. But that was yesterday. What are we doing now? First serve this coming week. But that's just the beginning. That's just to whet the appetite for all this other stuff. And as you walk out of here, I'm going to give you some M&Ms. These are mine. Don't touch these. But I'm going to give you some M&Ms. All right? I'm going to give you a little bag when you walk out of here. And here's what I want you to do. Okay? I want you to take them, even if you don't like M&Ms. Will you just take them for me? Okay? But you can't eat them. And your kids can't eat them. Nobody can eat them. Not yet. So I want you to take these M&Ms and I want you to put them in a really obvious place in the house, a place that you're going to pass a lot. Maybe you're going to tape it onto the mirror in your bathroom or on your car. Just kind of tape it on there, that little bag of M&Ms. Okay, and I want it to tempt you. And I want you, when you see this M&Ms, to think, how am I going to be generous? How am I going to be generous with the world? How today, when I walk into Target, am I going to be generous with my M&Ms? Maybe it literally means you're going to buy some M&Ms and hand them out. I don't know. But maybe it's going to be bigger. And here's what I really want you to do. Will you do this? Like, first of all, will you friend me on Facebook? Because this church, I got like 30 friends from this church on Facebook. What is this? Like, are we not friends yet? Like, Instagram? Like, be my friend. And then tag me and take pictures of the M&Ms. I want to see where they are in your house. Tag First Prez so we can all see them. All right? And we'll see. And then 3 weeks from now, then you can eat them. That's going to be our celebration Sunday. That's where we're going to bring our commitments forward. You guys know, you've been here for years. I don't even know how you do it yet, but I can't wait to be a part of it. And then you're going to say, I'm going to be super generous this next year with God's M&Ms that he let me use. Let me pray for us. Thank you, Father, for our M&Ms. And for all the things that you've given us, you're so good to us. Will you help us to be generous and willing to share, to care for the world that you've given us, to represent you well, to show that you are beautiful and generous and faithful and good, a good, good Father. We will give you the praise and the glory and the honor for all things. In Jesus' name we pray.